Okay, Mark.
Okay, I agree. I'm against this change or suggested recommended change because I do feel that since we're separating this from inspection rights and instead we're talking about information requests which may again require production or work on the part of staff, that should go through the coordinating committee as it's currently set up, and that it should not be where any board member, and again, unlike some organizations or many organizations who select their board members and whatever, ours are voted on in one-year terms. We have an annual turnaround, a turnover, and you know, a good number of our board, a good percentage, with new people, and I think that we need to have that coordinating committee there to vet these requests, as opposed to saying that any board member can just go directly to the ED and say, I need this or produce this report, and if the ED says no, they have to get some legal opinion. I think it's a bad idea, and I don't think that we should do it. I strongly urge that we vote against this.
This is Bob. Can you add me to this, actually?
Yes, I will, Bob.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Donna?
Okay. I'm just a little confused because the way that I'm reading the motion, number one, I didn't get a second on the motion. But
going from a committee.
Oh, okay. From the committee to have a second. Thank you, David. Okay. But it says that it's tabled until the next CC meeting, and I guess the reason we have it is because they wanted our comment or feedback prior to the next CC meeting. So this tells me that the coordinating committee, this comes from the coordinating committee, which Dave just clarified, and I just, the members who are on the coordinating committee, who are they and did you guys agree to this?
May I clarify, Julie?
Yeah, the members on the committee are myself, let's see, Dave, Wendy, Fadi, Ray, who am I missing?
Mark.
Mark, and Lonnie.
And Donna.
And Donna.
Well, Donna's not on it.
Yeah, no, Donna hasn't participated.
Yeah.
But can I clarify, Julie, what she said, that when you sent around in the notice of meeting, that motion about its being tabled was from the coordinating committee before last. At the last coordinating committee meeting, we voted to bring it before the board at this meeting. So that has been done.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's okay, but you've got Mark on there, and Mark's opposing this motion. So my question is, did this actually come from the coordinating committee? The
yes.
Motion.
Yes, I sent the minutes around. If you check the minutes of the coordinating committee, you'll see the vote. I'll get you the vote.
No, I don't need that. Yeah. I'm just asking the question now. Because
yeah, no, it did come from committee.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm sure that new discussion and it has brought, you know, added issues, but it came from the committee with the unanimous vote.
But the committee, was there a minority, opinion?
No, it came with the unanimous vote to the PMB.
But some of the committee members are opposing it right now.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that maybe new discussion around the issue has brought other issues to light that have, you know.
Is that how you see it, Mr. Roberts?
That can happen.
Okay, I'll pass.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we need to question directors. But, are there any, or,
Ooh,
what, sorry, I have a whole stack. Teresa.
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with Steve. I agree with Mark. I don't think that we should have 22 people submitting direct requests to one staff person. I think it should go through somebody to be vetted or, you know, just to make sure. And I certainly don't agree with the fact that we're saying that if the ED says no, that he has to get the attorney to say, the reason why, and that's going to have the ED going to the attorney, and I think it would put the ED in an adversarial place to say no to somebody. So I don't know how it can be changed, but I'm pretty strong that I just don't think this is the way to get it done.
Stock, please.
Who was that?
William.
Okay. Next on the stack we have Patty, and then Dave, then Bob, then William. Patty?
This is Patty.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, past history kind of shows that we that there hasn't been all these huge requests that people are asking for, first of all. As far as the information being asked and going to the full board, I mean, in a way, I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm wondering how many people on this board listen to the Finance Committee meetings or even know what the situation is there. And I, in a way, we don't get a lot of just information from, you know, what people are needing, talking about, concerned about in very many ways. So I would think that it's, you know, if it's not abused, it seems to cut some problems out. And if the ED is going to keep going to the legal for, you know, we know what those things are. There's very few things that directors don't have rights to. In fact, there's really nothing. It seems he would hardly ever have to go to the lawyer. So I would think that this is a good policy because I think it informs the board of what people are doing, needing, thinking, and I think that's good. And also, if it becomes abused, it can be revisited or something. But so far, I haven't seen any requests for anything by anybody all year long. Hardly, except a couple of things, and which they're very difficult to get anyhow. So I would vote for this, thinking, let's see what happens. Thank you.
Okay. Me, Julie.
Okay, thanks, Patty. Yeah, Dave.
This is very frustrating because both the arguments for and against this are not relevant to what it is. So people should know everything about the... That whole paragraph on legal counsel, et cetera, is part of our existing policy. What this is replacing is the following, that the coordinating committee shall meet biweekly to coordinate directors and other requests made during the preceding 2 weeks. We're in violation of that, have been all year. That any director of in need of documents or information from foundation personnel will inform their local rep to the coordinating committee in writing via email. That 3 days prior to the biweekly coordinating committee meeting, each coordinating committee member will aggregate all requests received in the preceding 2 weeks from their local signal area directors and will post these to the entire PMB. So you're still getting all the requests. Doesn't change that. The chair of the coordinating committee shall assemble an agenda such that all items received are considered by the coordinating committee during its meeting and will post that agenda along with all requests received to the PNB at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting. You're getting it again. The biweekly meeting of the coordinating committee, confidential things are in confidential session. The biweekly meeting of the coordinating committee is in telephone conference call. During its biweekly meeting, the coordinating committee will determine a time frame for response to each request and establish who will be responsible for responding to the request. In general, it's expected that requests of information provided by management personnel will be assigned to the ED to delegate to other personnel as appropriate. That's still there. In the event that the time frame set by the coordinating committee for response is unacceptable to the director may make the request directly of the executive director, specifying the time frame in which the documentation is needed. So it's not a filter. All this mechanism does as it presently stands is makes you wait until the coordinating committee, which hasn't been meeting according to that schedule, meets before you get to directly ask. This just and this is why Ambrose originally proposed a direct request. Anyhow, then it goes on, and from there on, it's identical to what this is. So all the stuff about legal counsel, in the event if the executive director believes information request falls within the narrowly restricted range, et cetera, is identical. So this all this changes is that grotesque bureaucracy, which I regret having put in there about you send it first and then it's re-relayed and then all the rest of it. It's still the case that the CC reviews the scheduling of information requests. It's still the case that a director can go directly to the executive director and all the legal stuff is left unchanged. If we want to do another revision and deal with that stuff that you don't like, that's one thing. But if you turn this motion down, all of that stuff still holds. It's just we're in violation of our policy because the coordinating committee is not meeting. And it's just inefficient. So that's it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Bob?
I pass.
Okay, William?
I'm late on the conversation, so I'm not poised to make a motion, but it's just, I hope that we're not setting something that's going to be in stone. It just seems that a new executive director should be able to develop a protocol for communication between the board and him or herself, and we should stop making it so difficult for folks. I understand that there have been episodes in our history where people have been forthcoming with information, but assuming we're on a new path, it would be great to be starting it.
Okay, thank you, William. I don't have anyone else on the stack, so does that mean that...
Call the question.
Can I get back on the stack, Bob?
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. I think William made an excellent point that this policy, might work okay or it might not, and we have a new person, hopefully, coming in September. So it would be best to give them some leeway. So maybe we could add an amendment to that the board will revisit this policy, let's say within 3 months of the bringing on board of a new executive director.
Find the information. What policy, Bob?
The policy we're voting on tonight, the communication policy.
You mean vote on this one and then revisit it in 3 months?
Yeah, in other words, it's pre-guaranteed that this is not forever. It's kind of a sunset provision.
I got it.
What's not a sunset?
Another question here, Madam Chair.
Okay, well, is there a second to the amendment?
There was an amendment?
Yes,
yeah.
Bob just put forth an amendment.
I'm sorry, what was that amendment, Bob?
The amendment is that this is an addition to the motion, it doesn't substitute for anything, that this policy will be revisited by the PNB 3 months after the appointment of a new executive director, based on input from the executive director.
This is Wendy. I object to the consideration of...
Point of order.
Yes, Dave?
There's been no second.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a second on the floor. There's now an amendment on the floor. Wendy?
I just object to the consideration of the amendment because there's no reason. We can revisit any policy at any time. It seems that it's starting something else that, I mean, we've got our plate full. We need to move on and quit going back on other things. Obviously, if there's a problem with it, we will be reconsidering it. Any member can bring it at any time. So I object to the consideration of the amendment.
I call all pending questions.
Okay, all pending questions have been called. Donna, are you prepared for a roll call vote?
I guess,
are there any objections to closing debate? Okay, hearing none.
You want a roll call vote on the amendment, Madam Chair, and then the motion?
Yes, please.
Can we see if there's any objections?
Oh, yeah. Are there any objections to the amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
So what do you want the roll call?
For the amendment.
Okay.
First.
Could you read the amendment and the motion?
Yes.
Well, I'll do the amendment first.
Right.
What I got, Bob, I don't think I picked up the very end. This policy will be revisited by the PNB 3 months after the appointment of an ED? Is that what you said?
Of a new ED based on the ED's input.
New ED based on the ED's input. Okay. So
excuse me, a point of order. If I object to the consideration of the question, does that not bring it to an immediate vote and require two-thirds to change that?
Dave?
Are you asking for a ruling of the chair whether the motion is in order?
Yes.
That's a different matter. Then the chair has to decide whether it's in order or not.
Yeah, I think this is in order. Do you want to appeal that?
Is it not in order?
No, I don't think it's that big a deal in the end, but no.
Thank you.
You want me to call the roll, Madam Chair?
Yeah, go for it.
For the amendment. This policy will be revisited by the PNB 3 months after the appointment of a new ED based on the ED's input. Marty, oh, well, I'm not calling anybody I don't know is here. Okay, the amendment, Steve Pierce?
No.
LeVarne Williams?
No.
William Walker?
Yes.
Starr? Ryan
no.
Obama?
No.
Dave Adelson?
Pass.
Pass. Okay. Maria Armunian?
Abstain.
Abstain. Donna Warren? I'll abstain. Joe Montez? Oh, I'm sorry. Joe's not here. Nkosi? Nkosi Kamar? No. Got a no from you. Wendy Stroll?
No.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
No.
No?
Madam Chair, it's very difficult to hear. Somebody's, I don't know what they're doing, they're washing cars or something.
Teresa Allen?
No.
Patty Heffley?
No.
Ray LaForce?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Michael Warren?
Yes.
Ambrose Lane?
Abstain.
Mark Roberts? Rob Robertson?
Yes.
Serena?
Abstain.
Okay, coming back to the passes is Dave Adelson.
Abstain.
And Mark Roberts. Mark Roberts? Okay.
Star six, Mark.
I did. Yes.
Okay. We've got one, two, three, four, five, six, yes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, no. One, two, three, four, five, abstain. It fails, Madam Chair. Madam Chair?
Okay, let's move on to the main motion.
Madam Chair, Tarif asked if it could be read. Can I just ask whether he wants the revision read or the whole revised thing read?
Well, what's that?
I think that you should stick with just the revision,
yeah.
Personally, unless there's strong objections
right.
to that.
No.
Is that okay, Michael?
That's fine.
The motion to revise the communication policy so that information requests from directors are made directly to the ED and CC'd to the PMB. The ED will schedule fulfillment of the... and the coordinating committee will review the status of requests at each meeting.
And that's it, right, Dave?
Pardon me?
And that's it?
That's the revision, and then the revised policy is what I read earlier. It's integrated and it's been emailed to everybody.
Okay. Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
Want me to call the roll?
Yes.
Okay. Steve Pierce?
Yes.
You said yes? LeVarne Williams?
Yes.
William Walker?
On the communications policy?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Star?
No.
David?
Yes.
Maria?
Yes.
Donna? Yes. Nkosi?
Yes.
Wendy?
Yes.
Teresa?
Abstain.
Patty?
Yes.
Ray? I'll come back, Ray. Bob?
Abstain.
Michael?
No.
Ambrose?
Abstain.
Mark?
No.
Rob?
No.
Zarina?
No.
Coming back to Patty?
Hello?
I'm asking for Patty. Patty, are you there?
Can you hear me? Patty, can you hear me?
Oh, wait a minute. Patty, I have you. Ray, I'm looking for you. Ray?
No.
You want to vote? Okay. Okay, I think that's everybody. If I missed anybody, please speak up. We've got one. Excuse me, who's that? Hello? Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think 7 no's, but let me count that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 no's. And 1, 2, 3 abstain. Madam Chair?
Yes.
8 yeses, 7 noes, and 3 abstained. The motion passes.
Well, a point of order, the chair has the option to vote in this case.
Well,
she,
there's no
make,
tie.
No, to make or break a tie. That's what Robert's rule
is. It's not a tie.
No, she can
to
create
make,
a tie.
Right.
She
can
create a tie,
which
would kill
it. Would fail.
Okay, Madam Chair, would you like to take your option?
No.
Okay, well, then the motion passes.
Okay, moving on to the next motion is the motion that was presented to the Coordinating Committee by Wendy Sherrell and passed, asking that the Bylaws Working Committee meetings be streamed and noticed. And so that's coming before the board. I don't know, Wendy, if you have anything that you'd like to add or preface it with.
Well, it's basically just that this is very important stuff and the... I mean, the bylaws subcommittee has already complied with the offer. Lydia is very in favor of it. We have a lot of important stuff on our plate, and so the only thing, so it's, yes, noticed, streamed and archived. However, you know, we're not holding, there are a working group, so it was not part of my motion to intend that they couldn't have a meeting if they decided to have one, you know, with a shorter notice than 10 days or 7 days or whatever, that doesn't mean they can't have a meeting. But that the meetings that they have, paid for by Pacifica on national conference calls, be noticed, streamed, and archived so people can go back and listen to them. And part of my argument was, if we want to make the best changes we can, and so everybody should know what they are so they can vote with some knowledge. That's all.
Second.
Yeah, Dave?
Does this require a second?
No.
Okay.
Because it's coming from committee.
Would you put me on the stack, please? This is Laverne.
Go ahead, Laverne. Thank you,
Madam Chair. I support the motion, but I have a point of information. Shouldn't every committee have PNB committee have a bylaws subcommittee? I mean, it's not necessarily the responsibility of the governance committee to have a bylaw subcommittee. That I think that each standing committee should have a bylaw subcommittee. Thank you.
May I speak, Madam Chair? Dave?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
All the LSBs do, and I, as far as I know, that working group is in communication with the different LSB working groups.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on this? And let me read the actual motion. I have it in front of me. It says, due to the importance of the discussions of the bylaws subcommittee, that meetings of this working group be noticed, streamed, and archived.
This is Wendy. Laverne brings up an interesting point, because one thing that we're dealing with on the elections committee right now is what we thought we were working on was both, you know, how to do it better, and also that might include some bylaws revisions. And then, you know, now all of a sudden tonight we're voting on bylaws revisions that have to do with elections coming from a different committee. So I don't see any problem with each committee having a working group on bylaws. And at the same time, I mean, yeah, anybody can propose a bylaws amendment. As far as I know, I mean, I don't think it needs to come from the governance committee subcommittee on bylaws. Does anybody have any comments on that?
I have one comment. We're not going to be voting on any bylaws revisions. We're just agendizing them for our September PNB meeting, because they need to be agendized. I think it's 60 days prior to the actual vote, and they're also going to be running, as I believe, and this will probably be reported in the next motion, but they're going to be running cards and making, you know, giving proper notice. So this is just to notice that we are going to be voting on our in our September meeting on bylaws revisions.
Okay, but should we put forth a motion that says that any committee of the PNB can put forth a bylaws revision?
Well, I think it's understood that, I mean...
I do, too.
That we have the, you know, we have kind of the authority to go to the bylaws working group with recommendations and suggestions. So, and I think that was part of your concern about being able to notice them is just so that people can also participate in the process.
Well, and also just though I would say that it is rather strange, though, if some committee is working really hard on their ideas or something and then some other committee comes and puts it forth and gets it to the PNB. I don't have a problem. I mean, I want everybody to be working on bylaws. I think that's great. But I want to say it out loud. I'm saying it out loud that... if committees are working on bylaws that are related to what other committees are already doing, then they should probably share their ideas with each other. You know?
Definitely. Definitely.
Point of order, Madam Chair. I don't remember. Did we ever select a timekeeper and take time, keep time of this of our agenda?
No, we did not select a timekeeper, and I apologize for that. We have 30 minutes for the coordinating committee, and we began, I believe it was at 10 after that I called the meeting to order, and so at this point we are, let's see, an hour and 26 minutes into the meeting.
Oh.
So we have been going over time, so I would.
Did you want to start keeping time from this point on?
Sure. Is there someone that would like to volunteer to keep time?
I'll keep time.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Thanks.
And I'm assuming that for the coordinating committee motions that there should be 10 minutes for each motion since there's three parts to this.
Yeah, and I think the last one took a little bit longer than 10 minutes, so we should probably continue moving forward with the bylaws working committee motion that's before us, and then Dave will just be giving a brief report on a working group that he's putting together. So.
Okay.
I'd like to call this question.
Okay, the question's been called on the bylaws working
committee
motion. Been seconded. Are there any objections to ending debate? Okay, hearing none. I'll go ahead and reread the motion that's before us. And it says, due to the importance of the discussions of the bylaws subcommittee, that meetings of this working group be noticed, streamed, and archived. Let me go ahead and call roll, Donna.
Madam Chair, are there any... I'm sorry, did you ask if there were objections?
Sorry, thank you all. Are there any objections to this motion?
Actually, this is Wendy. I have a tiny one. Call it the national... it's the national committee. That's the whole point. We can't just call it the bylaws committee because we all have one. So it's the, Dave, what's it called again?
Governance.
The bylaws, governance committee's bylaws convention working group.
Oh, it's called the bylaws convention working group?
I believe so.
All right. Well, if that's what it's called, then say, I hope we can say that.
It should still be national. Because our local groups are going to create a committee for everything that we create one for in regard to bylaws.
So then national governance.
National Bylaws Convention.
Working group of the governance committee. Yeah, actually, the national should be of the National Governance Committee.
Is that an amendment?
I'm going to call all of it a friendly amendment since it's my motion. So it could all be incorporated into the same thing.
Are there any objections to incorporating the new language? Okay, hearing none, are there any objections to the motion?
No.
Hearing none, the motion carries. And I believe that it's already begun.
Okay, but can I get the... Wendy, can you send me the amendment, please? Because I didn't hear it.
Okay.
Just the language change. Okay, Dave, podcasting working group, can you give a... brief.
It'll be very brief. Democracy Now! Is advertising that it's podcasting. We don't have a policy for fundraising on podcasting. If portions of our audience are getting shows that they've found through our FM broadcast that don't have fundraising pitches on it, then we don't get to fundraise there. It's a problem, though, because more than just a single station area's listeners listen to downloaded broadcasts, so it's not clear how you would arrange fundraising on podcasts of independent producers that are produced, that are aired on local stations. So the Ambrose asked me to convene a coordinating, a working group from the coordinating committee, since it would involve several different committees, to try and develop a policy on that as soon as possible, because it's going to start being significant probably by the fall fund drive, certainly by the winter.
Madam Chair, this is Sarv.
Go ahead, sir.
This is point of information.
Mm-hmm.
Our national board is supposed to have a technology standing committee. And I wonder what happened to that committee, because lots of stuff that's going on with technology, I would like it to see vetted through that technology committee. And does anybody know what happened to the standing committee?
I do.
And who's on it? Or who's, because I never hear any meeting of it.
This is Dave. Can I respond? Joe Montez was named convener of that. He attempted to convene it once several months ago, but we had some problems with that. I've emailed him on a couple of occasions asking about it. The directors that I'm aware of that are on it are, I believe, you, but I'm not certain of that.
No.
Myself, Joe, Zarina.
Zarina, yeah.
And I don't know who the New York director on it is.
Bob
is.
I'm on the committee, not Farb.
Huh?
I'm on the committee, not Farb.
Oh, okay, William is. We haven't had an opportunity to meet, and again, this involves more than just technology. It's also a matter for finance. And so because
I understand that, but I get lots of mail on, you know, and I'd like to see it go through some people on the committee, and I'd like to see it meet. Otherwise, why would we have a standing committee if it doesn't want to meet?
Been trying,
it's in the bylaw.
All I can tell you.
It's
kind of went the same way as the personnel committee.
Well, personnel committee did meet.
I'm happy to convene it if people, you know, if I get given that responsibility. But
because I like to see, you know, whenever there's a possibility of new technologies, I like to see it go through a technology committee because, you know, lots of us are not savvy at some of this stuff, and so we can trust them better.
But yeah, this is a policy about fundraising. It's not really a policy about the technology, although it's relevant to the technology. It's a result of the technology.
Anyway, I think you got my message.
Got it.
Thank you.
Ms. Chair?
Hello?
Julie?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Julie, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that.
This is Rob. Can I make a point of information?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm on a number of committees which have created subcommittees that can't even meet. And we've got a number of standing committees that still aren't meeting. I really think we have, you know, a minor crisis in governance in that we're creating committees and committee responsibilities we can't fulfill.
And we can change that through these bylaws.
Okay.
We have too many committees as it is.
You want to form a working group for the governance to deal with that?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mark?
One of the things I think we have to be careful of, and this year we seem to be moving more and more in these, quote, working group formats.
I said it was.
And I understand it because, you know, pardon? I mean, it's fewer people, but, you know, our bylaws are pretty clear that we're supposed to have these committees, and it includes LSB representatives, et cetera. And so I think that this should go through the technology committee that already exists, and that because otherwise it's like we're circumventing the LSBs and all of the other things in our bylaws about how our committee should be formed by calling it a working group.
This is Wendy.
Yes, Wendy.
And LaVarne.
Hi, my daughter called, so I had to dropped off and came back. So I don't know if anybody said this, but we need a new convener for the technology committee. I mean, Joe Montez isn't even bothering to come to the PNB meeting, so I don't think he can do it. So can we pick somebody else?
Good point.
Can I get on the stack?
Yes, we have LaVarne and then Dave.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the point that I wanted to make was that
if there is a working group or a committee that is meeting and that is convening, we should, like, you know, appreciate that and not try to put it into a formal committee where perhaps the people would not meet. So if people are going ahead with work and getting some stuff done, you know, we need to appreciate that and see perhaps how we can work it in. And I appreciate the point you sent about the convener of the technology committee and that it hasn't happened. But, you know, we need to encourage that Dave's group to continue working until perhaps we can fold it into the technology committee. Thank you.
This is Zarina. Can I say something?
We have Dave and then you, Zarina.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I agree with and understand what Mark is saying, and that's why on the governance committee I originally raised the question whether we needed to have any rules about working groups and notice responsibility, public airing responsibility, and the committee voted that we did not. The working group mechanism is just a way of preparing something that would then go to the committee before it can be considered ultimately by the board. So this was an attempt to, as I said, Ambrose asked me to put this together, to talk to the different folks around the network to get participation in it, and then to bring it back to the coordinating committee. And again, this is a policy about fundraising, not simply a matter of technology. I have no problem with going through the technology committee, but as has been noted, they're not meeting right now. This also involves the finance committee, and presumably the coordinating committee may, you know, ask for things to go out to other committees as well. So that's it. I have no great vested interest in this committee, this working group going forward. If people want to do it another way, they can, but the issue needs to get dealt with.
Okay, Zarina?
I just wanted to say that I am on the technology committee, and I'm supposed to be on a couple of other committees, which I've not heard anything from anybody, like archives. And I've kind of reminded people that I was on that committee, and I've not heard. I've emailed a person. I've talked with Teresa a couple of times. I know you're not head of that committee, Teresa, but just speaking on where technology is, true, we have not met since the very beginning. But I would suggest before we exempt a person, even if he hasn't been showing up, why don't we find out what the problem is, ask him, and see if he's still interested. And if so, then we can perhaps get going. But I'm not going to just, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater and just think that Joe's no longer wanting to be that chair. If he doesn't, then he should at least be alerted that we want to get working, and I'll be glad to email him myself, and I'm sure Dave will, because I know Dave likes to email. So I just think that technology, I don't think it's just fundraising. That was not the reason I got on that committee, by the way. It has to do with technology and some of the things that hopefully Pacifica will be able to get involved with and invest in.
Well, thanks, Serena, I guess.
Madam Chair, you have 2 minutes left on this item.
Okay, thanks, Donna. But thanks, Serena, for volunteering to contact Joe and see what's going on with the committee.
Okay.
Can you, would you mind keeping us abreast via email as to whether or not he will be the convener or if we need to name a new one?
Not a problem, sure.
Okay, thanks. So I guess where do we want to go from here? I mean, is there any further discussion on the podcast working group? There wasn't a motion before us. I'm not sure if we need one at this point, but maybe some understanding of where we go from here.
Is there any reason why Dave can't get together informally with other people who are interested to talk about it and develop some questions? So do we have to formally authorize something?
There's nothing to be authorized.
Yeah.
And why don't you just go and look into it some and tell us what the issues are?
Fine.
Okay. Next on the, or is there any further discussion about podcasting? Next on the agenda.
I would just like to say one thing about it. I just think we should tread a little carefully about it as far as Democracy Now, because they're doing a good job, and I understand Dave's concern, but let's be careful, because we want to encourage them to continue doing a good job.
Okay, thanks, Steve. The next agenda item that we have is the Bylaws Working Committee. We have 25 minutes, Donna.
20 minutes is on the agenda. How many minutes did you want?
Oh, I have 25 in front of me.
You do? Oh, okay.
This is Lauren. I have 20 also.
Okay. I'm sorry. I may have just, I don't know, a slip of the finger. 20 minutes is fine. I think.
Okay.
And
we don't have a motion.
Rob, or? Hello?
Hello?
Rob, were you going to present it?
Sure, I can present. Okay, first of all, what's happening here is we are proposing an amendment, and in accordance with the bylaws, it says that amendments may be proposed by six directors, a majority vote of the delegates of each two radio stations, or a petition signed by at least 1% of all members, which petition to be considered proposed must be delivered to the foundation secretary. So what we're simply doing, in effect, by making this proposition, is asking that this amendment be agendized for consideration at the next meeting in September. And the six members of the PNB that are proposing this with me are Sarv Randhawa, Marty Derlin, Steve Pierce, Bob Lederer, and Julie Chavez Rodriguez. There may be some others like Teresa Allen that are on the call tonight.
Ngozi's on that, Rob.
Ngozi Kamau. Okay, so we are making a proposal to amend the Articles of Incorporation and Bylaws, Section 1. The article that we're proposing to amend is Article 4 about delegates. And it's Section 5 of Article 4, the election time frame. And the amendment that we are proposing reads as follows. In a delegate election year, the nominations for vacating seats shall open on July 25th and remain open for 31 days, closing on August 25th. The national and local election supervisors shall thereafter prepare the written ballots for each radio station, listing all of the candidates and setting forth all other information required by these bylaws. Ballots shall be mailed or otherwise made available to the members on September 30th or the following business day if September 30 is on a mail holiday. To be counted, a ballot must be received on or before November 15, the, quote, election close date, close quote. All ballots shall be held sealed until the election close date. If the required quorum of ballots is not received by the election's close date, then the election's close date shall be extended by 2 additional weeks. The national and local election supervisor shall have up to 15 days after the election close date to count the ballots and to certify the results to the LSBs, the board, and the members, which results must be reported by December 1 or, if the election close date was extended, by December 15, and shall be posted on the foundation's and the radio station's websites. If no quorum of ballots is obtained by the extended date, then those delegates whose terms would have expired upon the election of the new delegates shall remain in office until the next regularly scheduled delegate election. Member record date will be August 16. And that motion was passed by a meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee at our meeting last week. Now, let me just state that fundamentally what we are proposing here, and we are not asking the members to make a decision now, but we are proposing that this amendment in the bylaws be agendized for the next meeting in September, after which it will have to be voted on by the LSBs. What this amendment effectively does is that it changes the time that elapses within the sequence of the election process to reduce the amount of time for the nomination period and extend the amount of time that's available for mailing and posting and processing in between. What we're trying to do here is to avoid the malfunctions that we've had in the last couple of elections where there really has not been sufficient time to print and mail the ballots, and it's raised some problems that have led to delays at the other end. And the reason that we're pushing this now is because we do not think that no matter how efficient we are, with the bylaws revision convention that we will be able to agree on all of the matters and get them passed by the body in time to affect the election cycle. Therefore, we want to make this amendment now so that we can trust that the election will proceed as smoothly as possible, regardless of what happens during the bylaws revision convention. And I would also point out that this time frame adjustment was recommended by both of the past national election supervisors, and it will not change the sequence of events. It will simply change the amount of time allotted in between the events.
Point of information. Point of information from Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
So we're not actually voting on this, correct? We're just being notified?
Yes, we're making a proposal that this go before the board in September. However, in doing this, we are going to be requiring that in accordance with the bylaws that our local stations begin announcing this bylaws proposal twice daily on the air through September the 25th.
Point
and Bob Letterer can correct me if I have omitted or misstated
any of
this.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to clarify the procedure under the bylaws, because actually we do need a vote tonight on the narrow procedural question of setting a date for the PNB to actually vote on this up or down, and then within that same calendar month, the LSBs must also vote. Well, that is if it's passed by a majority. So what we need an authorization tonight is just to say that. And the rule is there must be 60 days notice. So September, our next scheduled public in-person board meeting is September 23rd to 25th. So actually, by my calculation, September 23rd is 60 days from tonight. So we're then asking for a motion to add this item to the agenda of the September 23rd through 25th PNB meeting. That's the end of the motion. And then
the motion is to agendize it, but the motion is not to support the proposal.
Right, no, it's not a motion to support what your position is on it, but simply whether the board should be sure and vote up or down in that September meeting, which also kicks in this automatic notice provision as far as the local stations having to run announcements on their air.
Please.
Point of information.
Can someone just acknowledge that I will be put on a stock at some point? Can you? I don't stop saying it.
I'll defer my point of information until William's had a chance to speak.
Julie, the star six it.
So, Julie, can I speak yet?
Julie's.
Hello?
I don't think Julie can hear
you. Well, I'm
going to
go ahead and speak. Hi.
Yes, go ahead, William.
Thank you. I appreciate the work of the Governance Committee, and I'm glad that people are thinking about these timelines, but I think that, when we need to notice something on the air, there has to be some wiggle room for getting information out to program directors so that their traffic people or whoever does their scheduling can get something in log so that stuff is done. So assuming we approve something tonight, copy has to be written. So I urge people to think about that in the future, because that 60 days notice hopefully we get it together so it'll be 60 days. But I mean, it's asking a lot of staff to turn something around in like less than 12 hours. But I will say that I think that the proposed timeline still has a problem, and that's that for most states, local, national, and state elections happen in the month of November. And the problem that we had in the 2004 local station board elections is that while regular, normal, sane radio outlets were talking about the election, we were talking about our local station boards, and we were driving away listeners that wanted to hear about what was going on between the two candidates for the larger races, or not just the two candidates, but all candidates that are participating in national presidential election, rather than hearing about, you know, John and Mary who are running for the local station board. So I think that we really need to look at pushing the timeline even further back. It would be great if our boards cycle could coincide with our fiscal year. I mean, in my opinion, but maybe that's asking a bit much, but or maybe that's not a good idea in some people's eyes. But I think that we need to think a little bit more about the timing. It's not just about processing ballots and getting information out to our listenership, but it's also keeping in mind whether our election cycle makes sense to whatever else we're doing on our air. So I hope that by noticing this, we're not just thinking that that proposal has to be done so that elections have to happen in November, because they don't and they shouldn't.
Point of information.
Okay, point of order.
Thanks, David.
The time is up.
Go ahead. We've been on this for 20 minutes?
No, for 10. We still have a second part.
All of a sudden, Julie's very faint.
So? I move to extend by 10 minutes.
I should explain, we've only been on it for 10 minutes, but we did have part two.
Yeah, well, we have, I think that they're kind of mixed in with the same.
Okay, go ahead then, please.
Put me on the start, Julie, please, Wendy.
Yeah,
okay,
Julie,
go ahead.
Bob.
Dave,
Bob.
Then Wendy, then Bob.
Could somebody explain to me when this thing could be amended if people wanted to amend it? Would that have to occur before it got announced? Bob mentioned vote up or down. So is it amendable here on this call? If not, would it be amendable in the fall? My understanding is the answer to the question, the latter question is no. I don't know the answer to the question about now.
I'm not sure I understand your question, David.
So say somebody wanted to amend it, like William
mentioned. Amend what?
The proposed bylaws change that you are putting forth, for example.
Amend it after it gets passed, or amend it as it becomes discussed.
Well, that's sort of the issue. It's not discussed. It's not before us, according to what you're saying, until the fall. But my understanding is we can't amend a proposed bylaws amendment. We have to vote it up or down. So then my question is, if six directors are putting it forth at this point for consideration in the fall, is it subject to amendment by this body or not?
My sense, David, is that when the board discusses it, the board may choose to make amendments as they discuss it, and then vote whatever they amend up or down, or if they don't amend it, vote it up or down. It's not clear to me that bylaws amendments as they're proposed cannot be amended while they're being deliberated by the board.
I thought the exact text had to be noticed in advance of the meeting, and that fact meant that they couldn't be revised. That was an issue in the lawsuit, certainly.
It's a good question, and I'm not sure that I can answer it with authority, David.
Can I put out a perspective on it?
Yeah,
just
go ahead.
Really quickly, I just think that, I mean, things are noticed. If we're operating under the, you know, I'm thinking Brown Act and Sunshine. If a city were to put legislation forth, often there are amendments to what they're putting forth. So I would think that as long as the notice says that these are proposed changes, they will be discussed at the National Board meeting in September, as long as it's noticed in a manner that people understand that they have the ability to, like, we have to set a public comment process so that people can send in letters about how they feel about it. They can send in emails, and maybe devoting a portion of a local station board show 1 month to discussing it would meet our requirements, is what I would assume. But again, I'm not a lawyer or an expert either.
I would simply say that, again, the purpose of this amendment is to rectify a problem in the current process, which is stipulated in the bylaws language. Many of us think the bylaws language should not be that specific, but it is, and it's created a problem, and it's been pointed out to us in the last two election cycles, and we're simply trying to adjust the time frames available without further changing the bylaws and extending the period at the back end or stretching it out at the front end. The
Hello?
Sequence of events is the same.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Next we have Dave, then Wendy, then Bob.
No, I already spoke.
Okay, Wendy?
Okay, I have to admit that I was one of these people that was wondering, why did this come up all of a sudden, you know, when we're talking about a bylaws convention in the future, and why is this suddenly here? In answer to Dave's question that we were just talking about, it would seem to me that if we do decide to change it, that we might need to start the entire process again of the 60-day notice and all that stuff. So I would ask that we get, well, I don't know if it's a legal opinion. We need to research this further to answer that question. I'm hesitant to demand a legal opinion when we don't know who our lawyer is. And I totally understand the what we ended up with last year, where the election supervisors, the people that we hire who are experts on elections, happen to have day jobs working on elections. And so they end up being part of presidential campaign type elections. But I just wanted to point out that I might be wrong on this, but I've done a little bit of math, and it seems that the next time that a Pacifica National or LSB election for Pacifica, the next time that will happen at the same time as a presidential election will be in the year 2012. Now, I'm not going to say that we don't have, Senate elections and things like that that might coincide with this time, but I want to disagree with what William said, was that, you know, announcing Pacifica election stuff would actually take away from the coverage that we give to national elections. That should never be the case. Our station should have enough time to do a, you know, one-minute recorded announcement from an LSV candidate and still cover national elections very well. It's another argument that I've heard on why this might not be a great idea to put forth this amendment. Hey, Raymond, could you? All right. What is that? That this amendment seems to be tying us into a third-class mailing, because then it's so easy to say, well, now we have plenty of time. But there were plenty of other problems with the third-class mailing as opposed to the first-class mailing. So, I mean, I don't have a huge problem with this motion, but I still want the option of making this mailing first-class. I don't think that giving us a couple more weeks to do the mailing will mean that it would just, that third-class will work out for us, because it didn't before for a lot more reasons besides the time. So anyway, I just really wanted to point that out, that a Pacifica election should not be tied to a national political election for the United States of America. We should have room for all of that, and we won't have to deal with that presidential thing until 2012.
That election's fixed anyway.
Hello? Hello?
Yep.
Hi.
Bob?
Okay. Well, on the question of when we vote on this, I think the thought among some members of the governance committee was just that we wanted to get this kind of out there for discussion and try to resolve it at the last public meeting of this year's board, because the next one is January, and this absolutely should be done at a public meeting, not at a telephone conference. So rather than waiting till January when the election season opens, and this isn't changing, we're not proposing to change the opening date of the whole nomination process, is July 25th of next year. So just to give a real heads up on to all the parties concerned. So that was the thinking behind the timing of this. But of course, that's up to the board as far as the timing of which meeting they want it voted on. We're proposing it be the September meeting. I just want to address William's points, which are absolutely on target, and I support them 100%, except that, unfortunately, the bylaws don't really allow us to make the change he's proposing this election. Or I should say, they would allow it only if we, before that election, we held a second vote of the entire membership on whether to approve that bylaws amendment, because it says that any amendment that extends the term of an existing member of the an existing delegate must be voted on by the entire membership. So that would force us into two separate, very expensive elections within the same year. So I don't think that's feasible in this short time. But actually, our LSB has gone ahead and proposed, and I know there are people discussing at other LSBs, and it's been submitted to the PNB's Election Review Committee to have a permanent. In other words, what we're proposing tonight is a stopgap for one election. But after that, many of us are proposing that the permanent long-term dates be exactly as William's saying, in a totally different time of year, to start in the winter and the election to be wrapped up. I'm forgetting right now exactly what month, but I think by the early summer. In order to avoid that clash, not only with the governmental elections, but also with Pacifica's pledge drives that happen in October, which is a serious problem for getting on-air debates in a full way when you're competing with the need for the station to raise funds. But that's another conversation which should not be mixed in with this. This is just a short-term stopgap within the current bylaws without having a vote of the entire membership. We are allowed to jiggle around the dates that don't affect the terms of sitting current board members. So that's what we're just trying to do to make sure that everyone gets their ballot mailed promptly and has plenty of time to get it mailed back.
Point of order, time's up on this item.